dedicated to the memory of a very special and noble woman, Mrs. Elka Jadak Olah HaShalom, the mother of our beloved Reb Chaim Shvelzer Zatzal. As the founder of Bikur Cholim, Mrs. Jadak truly personified the ideals of tzedakah and chesed to which our organization is dedicated. We are proud that this is the 19th year that Bikur Cholim has offered the women of Chicago an opportunity to be inspired by Divrei Chizuk and his Oros before Yom Kippur, the Yom Hadin. Bikur Cholim is a volunteer organization that has been providing both physical and material aid to the sick and needy in our community. In sponsoring this Kinnis Teshuvah, Bikur Cholim is attempting to provide us with another means of counteracting illness. For we all know that Teshuvah, sincere repentance, is an antidote for sickness and other hardships that could befall us. As we gather here tonight, 1 year to the day of September 11th, we think back to the message sent to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the terror and tragedy of that day. Ein lanu al mi lehisha'ein, ela al avinu shebashamayim. We have no one to turn to but Hashem, our Tata in Himmel. Our entire destiny, our entire future lies completely and only with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have absorbed and acted on that message time and time again this year, as we davened for Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael, through the many difficulties faced by our brethren in Eretz Yisrael, America, and throughout the world. At a time when the foundations of our world have been shaken, we must also remember what the real pillars of the world are. Al shlosha devarim ha'olam ha'meid, al ha'torah, al avoda, v'al gemilas chasodin. In his famous work, Avas Chesed, the Chofetz Chaim points out that because we no longer fully have the pillar of avoda, the service of karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, we must work hard to strengthen the remaining pillars of Torah and gemilas chasodin. Through Bikur Cholim, we, the women of Chicago, have just that opportunity. Bikur Cholim needs you to continue to volunteer, and just as important, to encourage your friends to join you. You will enable our organization to grow and service the needs of the Cholim of our community. Please fill out the volunteer forms for the new year and hand them in at the end of the program. Once again, our Kinnis Teshuvah is being presented to you in conjunction with the Torah Projects Commission of Agudas Yisrael of America. Tonight is the 13th International Yom Ilan in Yemei HaSlichus, which this year is dedicated to Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael. We are all in this together. It is now my privilege to introduce our guest speaker, Rabbi Ephraim Eliyahu Shapiro. Rabbi Shapiro has become one of the most sought-after speakers in the country and abroad today. After learning in Kollel for several years, Rabbi Shapiro moved to North Miami Beach, following in the footsteps of his illustrious father, Zatzal. Beis HaKnesset Shari Tefila has the benefit of his dynamic leadership. Due to the overwhelmingly positive response of his words to us last year, we are fortunate that he has agreed to come and address us again this evening. In view of the events of this past difficult year, we have asked Rabbi Shapiro to also give us words of chizuk during these turbulent times. Rabbi Shapiro.
The Gemara in Megillah in the first parak tells us that when Haman threw a goyro, he threw a lottery to see when would be the best time to destroy and murder all of Klal Yisrael, he had, the Gemara says, a simcha gedayla. He was extremely joyous because the month that the goyrel fell out in, it fell in the month of Adar. And because he knew that that was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died in that month, on Zion Adar, he had a simcha gedayla. Clearly it's an ominous time for Klal Yisrael. What a perfect time to murder Klal Yisrael. Zokti Gemara, Haman was so foolish, because what Haman didn't understand, says the Gemara, is Shebeshiva be'odar meis u'beshiva be'odar noilad. You're viewing it as a day that Klal Yisrael was caused harm, because that's the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Says the Gemara, Haman, you're so foolish, because be'oisei yon shemeis noilad. Not only was that the day he died, but we know 120 years earlier, Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zion Adar. So the Gerer Rebbe Zechusa Yogan Aleinu asks an obvious question on the Gemara. What does the Gemara mean, Haman was foolish? He picked Zion Adar, he picked Chodesh Adar, because it was an ominous time for the Jews. Moshe died. So what does the Gemara mean that not only did he die, but be'oisei yom shemeis noilad, he was also born on that day? And therefore, Haman didn't pick a very good day. He shouldn't have been so excited. Ask the Ger Rebbe, what difference does it make that he was also born on that day? I ask you a question, Rabbi. Did Moshe Rabbeinu die on Zion Adar? Yes. Was it a bad, ominous day? Yes. That's why Haman was happy. What do I care that he was also born on Zion Adar? It doesn't change the mazel. It doesn't make it a happy month. When the Gemara says that on that day Zion Adar that he died, he was also born, it does not mean 120 years earlier. That's true. But that's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara says Haman didn't understand. On that day that Moshe died, it wasn't a day of death. It wasn't an ominous time. Because Noilad, he was born on that day. He went to Shamayim. He had a closer existence with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He started a nitzchiyistic existence, living for eternity. And that's what the Gemara means. Haman, that fool, doesn't get it. No one understands Klal Yisrael. Be'oisei yom shemeis, on the day that he died, it's not a bad, ominous day. You know why? Noilad. Because he was born on that day. He went to the Shamayim. He started getting closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He started in existence for eternity. And I think that's the chashivas of coming together today, September 11th. 1 year to the day of 9/11, when the world was changed forever. Because until now, we have viewed the last year of 9/11 as Ba'oisei Yom Shemeis. Thousands of people met their deaths. Thousands of people jumped to their death and fell into under the rubble. But by coming together tonight, we have to make sure that it's not an oisid yom shemeis. It's your achrayus. It's your obligation to turn 9/11 from now on into an oisid yom shemeis. No what? Let it now become, as a result of our coming together, that 9/11 is no longer a day of tzar. 9/11 is no longer a day of such misois mishunais, horrible, unspeakable deaths. But by our coming together for chizuk, our coming together to be inspired with each other, it should become the oisei yom shemeis noilad. It's a day of learning. It's a day of being born again. It's a day of existing closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. My Rebbe Rabbeisai, that's our obligation. Somebody recently told me about a Rav who was invited to an out-of-town kehillah to speak. And the rav in the city told the visiting speaker all the chesronos, all the faults with the community. So the rav who comes from out of town gets a packed audience, and he gets up the first night and he tells the hundreds of men and women, he says to them, I want you to know that if everyone in this kehillah doesn't do tshuva, everyone in the kehillah is going to suffer tsaros. And everybody starts bawling. And this rav sees this one fellow smack in the center, he's sitting there smiling. And the next night the rav comes and he says, I want everybody in this kehillah to know that if everybody in this kehillah doesn't start becoming more nizhar and shmiras ha-mitzvos, more meticulous in observance of mitzvos, chas v'sholom, the kehillah is going to suffer tzoros. Chas v'sholom, everyone in the kehillah is going to go to Gehenna. And everybody's bawling. And the one guy in the center is looking at the rav, smiling. And the rav's getting very agitated. And the third night, the speaker gets up and he says, I want everybody in this kehillah to know they have to improve their ways. And I want everybody in this kehillah to know this is it, the end is coming. The kehillah must know this. And the guy in the center doesn't stop smiling. Finally, the rav runs over and he says, you've heard me every night. You've heard me say what's going to happen to the people in this kehillah. Why are you smiling when I talk? And he looks at the rav and he says, because I'm not from this kehillah. My Rabbi Rabbeisai, I want you to know, you may think you are not from my kehillah, and I'm not from your kehillah. Zolz du wissen, Achenu Kobeis Yisrael, we're in it together. Chicago, North Miami Beach, New York, Eretz Yisrael, the entire world. This is one Aguda Achas. It's one kehillah, make no mistake. Klal Yisrael is guf achas. We are one body. And when part of the guf is diseased and hurting, we all suffer. It's devastating. And so tonight, we've chosen the topic, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. Yes, we're all in this together. Because geographically, whatever kehillah we may be from, we are all from the same kehillah, the kehillah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And tonight our obligation is to decide what can we do to become a full, proud member of the kehillah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a quote that I'd like to make the central theme of tonight's talk. The previous Belzer Rebbe, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, once said, and I quote, the current golus of Jews to non-Jews is only as a result of the golus between Jews and Jews, which is only a result of the golus between each Jew and himself. And I think I'll tell you what the Belzer Rebbe is saying. The one reason we've gathered on 9/11, the one thing we ask from our Kaddish Baruch Hu, bring an end to the golus. We can't take it any longer. The tsaros, the korbanos, you know as well as I do, the terrible tragedies just in the month of Elul. We thought we could escape the last month of the year. Please let it be b'shalom. Please let it be b'shalva. Never. Children being killed. A mice in South Fallsburg with a bear. Whoever thought when we'd say that it's not a type of meba chaya. The only reason we've gathered is to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, please put an end to the golos. Please. No more tzar. No more korbanos. We don't want another korban, another akeda. We can't take it anymore. Zokta Belzer Rebbe, if you want to get rid of that golos, get rid of the golos that exists amongst Klal Yisrael. And if you want to get rid of that golos, first, get rid of the golus that exists within each and every one of us. A month ago, my wife and I were zocha to be in South Africa. And one evening, the night we arrived in Johannesburg, I had to be taken to the Or Sameach in Johannesburg to speak. And everywhere we went to speak, we were Baruch Hashem provided with a driver. We didn't know where to go, so the driver took us from point A to B, B to C, and then to home. So here I am, I arrive in South Africa, we get into the car, I say to the driver, Shalom Aleichem, what's your name? He says, Zev Schwartz. I said, Shalom Aleichem, Reb Zev. You're my driver. Yes, I am. I said, tell me, Reb Zev, do you know where I'm going? And he says to me, philosophically speaking, because if you don't know where you're going, how should I know where you're going? I said, I love you people. That's the first thing we have to ask ourselves tonight. Do we know where we're going? Do we ever stop and think? I'd like to tell you, you have given me the answer. There's a Meir Dikapshat from the Chassam Sofer, Zechusi Yogan Oleinu, Zot the Chassam Sofer. Whenever you have mitzvos, to show their chashivas and their importance, they're put in the right hand. You make kiddush, hold the kois in the right hand. You want to eat an apple or some type of food, hold it in the right hand. To show the importance we give and honor to a mitzvah, you hold it in the more prominent hand, the right hand. Then let me ask you ladies a question. It comes Sukkos, and we hold the Dalet Minim. We hold the Esrog, which is the Shvitz, the most beautiful of all the Minim, in the left hand. And the Hadassim, the Aravos, and the Lulav, in the right hand. And to complicate the situation, we know the famous Chazal that the Esrog represents the Jew that has Torah and Mitzvos, the Tzaddik. And here I am holding that in my left hand, and in my right hand, the all-important hand, I'm holding Hadassim, Aravos, and a Lulav, some of which don't have Torah, don't have Mitzvah, some have neither, and that's held in the right hand? It seems like a tremendous contradiction. If the right hand is more important, switch it. Put those three in the left hand and put the Esrog in the right hand. Zog the Chassam Sofer. Don't you see what Hashem is telling us? As much as he is Machshiv, and as important as it is to him, the Esrog Jew, the Tzaddik, more important and more beautiful is the Koyach HaRabin, the Koyach HaTzibur. While it's true the Esrog has Torah and Mitzvos, but it's only one, and therefore it's put in the left hand. But the Lulav, the Hadassim, the Aravos, that's a unit. That's a Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. I may not be perfect. You may not be perfect. She may not be perfect. But we come together. And when you come together, and when we're in it together, and you show Achdus and unity, Zokti Ribbono Shel Olam, you belong in my Yad Yamin. You belong in my right hand. Because more important than it is to Hashem, the Koyach HaTzadik, he has more love and more Ava for the Koyach HaRabim. And I think that's the first thing I have to say to you, you have every right to be proud of yourself. Because tonight, there are many things going on in Chicago. I saw in the shul, there are a number of conflicting events. It's 9/11, the women didn't want to come out. There are many obligations that tear for your time at home. It's Erev Shabbos Shuva. Yom Kippur and Sukkot is right around the corner. But close to 500 of you chose to come out tonight to get chizuk. You have taught me. You have given me more chizuk than I can conceivably give you. You've taught me the Koyach HaRabin. The Koyach HaTzibur. That belongs in the right hand. So I say, do you know where you're going philosophically speaking? Yeah, you do. You showed me tonight you know where you're headed because you came to this room. And as a result of our coming together and showing the Ribbono Shel Olam, Achenu Kol Beis Yisroel, we're in it together, we should always be deserving to be led by the Yad Yamin, the strong hand of the Ribbono Shel Olam, without any Esther Ponim. So what does the Belzer Rebbe mean when he says that the step one to getting rid of the gullus in the world is getting rid of the gullus amongst ourselves? But the first step is get rid of the gullus within each and every one of us. I want to focus on accomplishing that first, and then ultimately the gullus amongst Klal Yisrael. And maybe then we'll merit the Geula Shelema. There is a very cryptic medrash found in Parsha Shoftim, and I quote, Reb Elazar says, B'mokum sheyeshdin, ein din. U'b'mokum sheein din, yeshdin. Where there is judgment, there's no judgment. shoftim mean? So the Medrash says in the next line, Umahi came. What do I mean? Elo Omar Ebelazar. Ebelazar tells us, Im naaseh hadin lemato. If you choose to make din, judgment, in this world, Ein hadin naaseh lemalo. There won't be judgment upstairs. Ve'im lo naaseh hadin lemato. But if you're too brazen and arrogant to make a judgment down in this world, Hadin Naaseh Lemala. Judgment will be made for you upstairs by the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does Rebbe Lazar mean? If we make din, the Ribbono Shel Olam won't. And if we Cholul Bakas don't, he will. Let's try to open up the eyes of the Medrash to see what Rebbe Lazar means. I want to very quickly go through three stories found in Navi. There are many more that drive home the same theme, but we'll quickly go through these three. We know the well-known story in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, at the very end of Perek Vav. Yehoshua says that Yericho is never to be rebuilt. Oror Ha'ish, cursed is the one who rebuilds Yericho. In fact, he says that whoever does rebuild Yericho with his oldest child, he will lay its foundation, and with his youngest, he will set up its gates. Meaning, whoever defies this curse will indeed bury all of their children during his or her lifetime. So did anyone take him up on the challenge? We know that the Navi tells us in Melachim Aleph, Perek Tezayin, at the very end, and I quote, B'yomav bona chiel beis ho'eli. There was an individual whose name was Chiel beis ho'eli, and he had total disregard for the words of Yehoshua. And what did he do? It tells us right before Perek Zion, he went ahead and he built up Yericho. And indeed, says the Navi, with his firstborn, his Bechor, he laid its foundation. And with the death of his youngest, he installed the doors. Exactly like the Nevuah of Yehoshua, it came true. Chiel beis ho'eli was not willing to be modeh al ha'eres. Admit, he made a mistake. I was wrong. And although it meant burying every one of his children, that option, he kept building and building, burying and burying, building and burying children. So now I ask you, you'd think after a story like that, now are you willing to be Moda Al-Hemes? Now are you willing to admit you were wrong? Chatasi, I've made a mistake. The very next story in Melachim Aleph, in the next parak, tells us the well-known story of Eliyahu HaNavi Bahar HaKarmel. Eliyahu HaNavi was challenged by many false Nevi'im, false prophets. And there we are told that he made a challenge to these false prophets. Let's see whose God is real, yours or mine. And let's put some sacrifices on top of a mountain, and without lighting fire, let's see whose lights up, yours or mine. We know the story of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. And those false Nevi'im, what did they do? They put many sacrifices to be burnt on top of the mountain. And then somebody went inside the mountain, as if like a robot, to mechanically, with batteries, light it up, so as to prove Eliyahu HaNavi wrong. Who would have the asus? Who would have the unmitigating audacity to go inside, in the face of Eliyahu, and do that? Ladies, you know who it was? Chiel, beis ho'eli. Right after, here's your chance to be Moida Al-Emes. Chatasi, I was wrong. I buried every one of my children from oldest to youngest. But he's stubborn. He's an action. What's the next thing he does? I won't give up. And he goes inside the mountain to try to show up Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. As if he didn't get the point. We find another story in Navi. We're told in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel, there's the story of when a Navi denounces the idolatry of Yerovam ben Nevat.
And as a result of the Navi denouncing the worshiping idols of Yerubbaal, Yerubbaal wasn't too happy. So Yerubbaal gets up and he wants to curse. This is found in the beginning of Perek Gimel, Melachim Aleph. When Yerubbaal heard the words of this Navi who said and started to denounce Yerubbaal, he starts stretching out his arm and he stretches it out as if to strike and to curse the person. And as he stretches it out, we know the famous story of Yerubbaal, his arm becomes totally paralyzed. He cannot retract and move his arm back in. And all of a sudden, Yerubbaal is seized with fear. He knows he made a mistake. He turns to the Navi and says, please, daven to your God. Please ask I should do tshuva, that my arm should no longer be paralyzed. This Navi davens on behalf of Yerubbaal, and the pasuk is then made and testifies, Vatoshav Yad HaMelech Elov, the hand of Yerubbaal returned, Vatehikav Rishona, the hand became exactly like it was. Seemingly, it was no longer paralyzed, and he had use of the hand. Do you know what I think the Navi's telling us? Yerubbaal was wrong. Yerubbaal suffered a punishment. His arm became paralyzed. He turns and says, daven to your God. And all of a sudden, a miracle happens, and his hand is no longer paralyzed. You know what he does? Vatoshav Kavarishona. He goes back to being exactly the way he was. He doesn't change one iota. It is so difficult for a person to be Moda Alva Emes. Because to be Moda Alva Emes means to fess up. I was wrong. I made a mistake. It means the way I've done things till now have not necessarily been appropriate. And Yerubbaal was clueless as to be Moda Alva Emes. And after he was better, and after the tsar passed, and after he was able to use his arm again, Vatoshav Kavarishona, he went back to being the same worshiping idols, the same stubborn person who just didn't get it. Because they, not Chil Beis Ho'eli and not Yerubbaal, neither could be Moida Al Ha'emes. But perhaps it's the third story in Navi, more than any other, that I might say is the most shocking and astonishing of all the examples of stubbornness, akshonis, not being able to be Moda Alpha Emes. And this Maisa in Navi takes place in Yirmiyah right before Perek Chof Tes, the last two psukim of Perek Chof Tes. Very briefly, we are told in these psukim about someone named Hananiah Hanavi. And Hananiah Hanavi did some things that were terribly not appropriate. We don't have the time to go into them now. But as a result of that which Hananiah Hanavi did, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells a nevuah to Yirmiyah. And he tells Yirmiyah, tell Hananiah Hanavi that he's going to die this year. And the pasuk tells us, Vayomer Yirmiyah Hanavi El Hananiah. Yirmiyah Hanavi is about to deliver the message to Hananiah, and he tells him, I want you to know in the name of Hashem, Hashona Ato Mes. This year, you're going to die. Don't you want to know the end of the story? The next pasuk tells us, Vayomos Hananiah. Hananiah died Bashona Hahi, in that year, Bachodesh Hashvi, in the seventh month. And all the Mefarshim ask, that's an oxymoron. It's not possible. Bashona Hahi is this year. Chodesh Hashvi is Tishrei, the first month of the next year. So make up your mind. Did he die this year? Bashana Ha'i, or did he die Bishana Acheres, B'chodesh Hashvi, the next year, the next month? It can't possibly be both. If you take a look at an astonishing, shocking Radak and Metzudas David on this pasuk, they ask the question we just asked. Well, Hananiah said he died this year. When did he die? Bashana Ha'i or B'chodesh Hashvi? You know what the Radak says? And I quote, Really, he was about to die. Milamed Shemes Hananya be'erev Rosh Hashanah. He died on Erev Rosh Hashanah. As he was on his deathbed, the second before he passed away, he called over his sons, Vitziva Espinav, and he commanded his children, and this was his final tzavah. He said, Sheyotzi Uhu Acha Rosh Hashanah. I'm about to die now before Rosh Hashanah. Don't move my body. Let my body rot a few days, but only take me out and bury me after Rosh Hashanah for one reason. Kidei lasos nevuas Yirmiyahu sheker. So I can prove Yirmiyahu wrong. Could you imagine? One thing is Hiel Beis Ho'eli. Another thing is Yerobam. But Rebbeinu Shel'olam, here's a man who's about to die. Here's his chance to be Moida Ala Emes. Yerobam was gereft. Excuse me, Yirmiyahu was gereft. He was right. I died this year. But no, his final command, he mustered enough strength to say, I'm going to die this year. Make sure you don't bury me till after Rosh Hashanah. And that's what the pasuk means, but he died b'shana ha'i b'chodesh hashvi'i. He really died that year. But he didn't want the kvura, he didn't want to be buried and his body to be moved until the next year for one reason. I can't be moida ato emes. Because if I'm moida that I was wrong, if I admit I've made a mistake, it says I'm not who I think I am. And his final dying wish was, Lasos nevuas Yirmiya sheker. Let me prove him wrong. Ribbono shel Olam, the length that a person will go to just so as not to be moda ala emes. The Chachamim Chazal tell us it is from the most difficult things in the world to be moda ala emes because it means I have to change. It means from now on, this 9/11, and by the way, although it's 9/11, I recently saw a bumper sticker that said, America 9/11, Eretz Yisrael 24/7. It's time that we start being Mode Al Ha'emes. What is, in my opinion, the first and best possible way to be Mode Al Ha'emes? To fess up. To admit perhaps we were wrong until now, and this year, Topshin Samach Gimel, I promise, will be different. I want to quote to you outside a medrash found in Vayikra Rava Seder Emor Parsha Choftes. There the medrash is talking about Avram Avinu as he's on his way to sacrifice Yitzchak, to fulfill Akedas Yitzchak. Listen to this medrash, you won't believe. As he's on his way, Yitzchak is under one arm, and the knife for Shlita is under the other arm, Zakt Avram Avinu to the Ribbono shel Olam, and I quote, Goloi v'yadua lefanecha, you know Ribbono shel Olam, that you said to me earlier, Kachna espincha esyechitcha, take Yitzchak and sacrifice him and perform Akedas Yitzchak. Zok Avraham Avinu, Haya Velibi Malahashivcha. I had what to answer you. I could have opened my mouth and given you an answer. Haya Velibi Malomar. I could have told you the following. 1 second. I don't have to sacrifice Yitzchak. Esmola Markoli, yesterday you told me, Kibi Yitzchak Yikor L'Chazera, that through Yitzchak I'll live for eternity. Through Yitzchak there will be an existence of Klal Yisrael. V'achshav, and now, Ata Oimerli, you tell me the complete contradiction. V'aleim Shom La'ola, sacrifice him. That's like we say in the morning in Shacharis. Shnei k'suvim hamakishim zed zed. Two blatant psukim that contradict each other. So I could have opened my mouth. And I could have said to you, no, I'm not sacrificing Yitzchak, because you told me, Kipi Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazera. You told me the future will be with Yitzchak. But you know what? I didn't answer you. I didn't give excuses. I didn't open my mouth. He says, V'kavashti es Yitzri. I was klibish my Yitzer, and I did not answer you back. Zok Reb Chaim Brisker Zechusa Yogan Aleinu. For thousands of years, we always walk around saying that Avram says to Hashem, remember Akedas Yitzchak. Remember my sacrifice and the Mesiras Nefesh I was going to Shef Yitzchak. If I would ask any lady in this room, what aspect of the Akedah does Avram Avinu mean to evoke? I think we'd answer, well, the Mesiras Nefesh. He was willing to give up his son. He was willing to give up the son he loved the most after 100 years. That Mesiras Nefesh should stand our Zchusim today. Zok Reb Chaim Brisker, no. That's not what he meant to evoke. Because as marvelous as he may have been for having been willing to sacrifice Yitzchak, das Kugnish, it doesn't come to being Klevesh your Yetzer, not answering back. A chiddush from Reb Chaim Brisker that when we ask Hashem today, remember our Kedas Yitzchak, we don't mean that he was going to sacrifice Yitzchak. Because as amazing as that is, it's not nearly as impressive as not answering back. To be Kovish your Yetzer, stop giving excuses. You have what to answer, don't answer it. Concludes the Medrash and says that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, do you want to know what will make the Ribono Shel Olam Omei Mekise Hadin Lekise Harachamim new? What's going to make him get out of the chair of Din and sit and judge with Rachamim and be filled with Rachamim? One thing, says the Medrash and Reb Chaim Brisker, when we no longer give terutzim, when we no longer give answers, but rather we're Moda Acha Emes. Until today, when we speak in such glowing terms of Akedas Yitzchak, the quintessential Mesiras Nefesh forever, we're not referring to his willingness to sacrifice Yitzchak. We're referring to his willingness not to answer back, not to say something, to be Koivish as Yetzer and not answer even though he had to answer. I think the best way to decide tonight to be Moida Al Ha'enis, enough with all the terutzim. We're trying, as the Belzer Rebbe said, to end the golos within ourselves, correct? The way we end the golos within each individual, how do we come to peace with ourselves? How do we create a redemption within ourselves? One thing, be moda ala emes, no more terutzim, because oh my, are we good at giving answers. I can't dress more bitznius because. I can't keep Shabbos any better because. I must speak Lashon Hara because. I can't visit the Chayla because. I can't perform the mitzvah Kibbutz of Ein now because. I can't attend the shir because. I can't daven because. I can't do tefillah because. We have all the terutzim, all the excuses in the book. I can't because. I can't because. I can't because. Zok Avraham Avinu. Want Hashem to get out of the Kisei Adin? Do you want him to judge you with Rachamim? Then even if you have all the terutzim, even if you have every excuse and answer in the book, shh, be moide al ha'emes. Admit we need to change. Admit we need to do things even better. And I feel a little bit funny saying that to you 500 Nashim Tzidkaniyos here in Chicago. Because I am constantly more and more impressed with who each and every one of you are. But as wonderful as we may be, we have to do more. We have to end the golos that exists inside our own heart. We have to be moida ala emes. So to conclude this part, can we do it? Chiel Beisraeli couldn't. Yerovam couldn't. Hananiah couldn't. Can you do it? Is it only for the Avraham Avinus of the world? Can we be Moida Ala Emes? Can we change? The Spitz Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah. prophecy of Malchios in the Musaf Shemoneh Esrei is? Al kein nekava l'cha. You know we say Aleinu, and then the next paragraph is Al kein nekava. Al kein nekava is the opening paragraph of Malchios on Rosh Hashanah. Who authored that paragraph? The Mefarshim tell us it was authored by none other than Achan. You know Achan and Yoshua, where he went ahead and he stole and he took property from the city of Ai that he should not have? Your opening Malchios, the Spitz Tefillah, on the ultimate day, in the ultimate Tefillah, with a Tefillah of Achan? Achan is spelled Ayin Chof Nun, which stands for Al Kein Nekaveh. He? Couldn't you pick a tefillah of Moshe? A tefillah of Shlomo or David? Someone! Anybody but Achan? Do you know why we start with Achan? Achan stole what he should not have from the city of Ai. And now Achan is about to die. It's towards the end of his life. Vayoymer Yehoshua el Achan. I quote from Perek Zion in Yeshua. Yeshua says to Achan, please give honor to Hashem. It's the end. We know it was you. I ask you one favor. Visen lo toda. Toda from the word to be moide. Admit. Admit. Be moide. Here's your chance. Don't make the mistake of Chiel Beis Haile. Don't make the mistake of Yerubam. Don't make the mistake of Hananya. Those Akshonim, brazen and stubborn. Don't do it. V'sen lo toda. Confess and admit. Achan thinks about it for a second. Vayan Achan el Yehoshua, and he answers. Anoichi chatasi l'Hashem elikei Yisrael. I was wrong. I made a mistake. I want to be Moide al HaEmes. And because Achan had the ability to say Chatasi, to be Moide al HaEmes, to confess that he made a mistake, he was privileged that Musaf Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, Malchios no less, begins with his tefillah, Al Kei Nekaveh, not Tfilas Moshe, not Tfilas David, not Tfilas Shlomo Beno. You know why? Because although all of them were also had the ability to be Moed Al Emes, Achan, a simple, Achan had the ability to do. Achan had the ability to hear the Musar and saying, Anoichi Chatasi, I've sinned. His reward is, the Musaf Malchios will start with you. So yes, I dare say, it is extremely possible to be Moide al HaEmes. It is definitely within our hands to show the Ribono Shel Olam. I have to be at peace with myself. If I've made mistakes till now, if I've had a gulos and dispute within myself, it's over. From this 9/11, this is no longer Ose Yom Shemes. This becomes the day that Nolad. We are born. We change. We're Moide al HaEmes. Because if we can be Moide al HaEmes, we too will be Zaycha to have our own Malchios within each and every one of us. I think that's the first thing of the two steps that the Belzer Rebbe is telling us. That in order for a person to be, in order for a person to be at peace with himself or herself and not have a raging dispute within them, we have to be Moed al HaEmes. Before we go on to making peace with our neighbors, maybe now we could explain the Medrash we opened up with. Rebbe Lozer said, "If Nase Hadin Lamata, Ein Hadin Nase Lamala. If you make judgment down here, there won't be judgment upstairs. Vimlo Nase Hadin Lamata, but if you don't make din downstairs, Hadin Nase Lamala. It will be made for you." You know what I think the Medrash is telling us? Yom Kippur is 4 days away. Like it or not, we all are getting judged. It is judgment day. We are going to be judged. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Zok Rebbe Lozer, you have a choice. If you are smart enough to judge yourself, if you are smart enough to make din lamata, to be really moid ala emes, who are we? Think where we're holding in life. How can we improve? Then you know what the reward is? Ein hadin nasa lamala. We're holding in life. How can we improve? Then you know what the reward is? Ein hadin nasa lamala. The Ribbono Shel Olam will say, only one of us need to judge you. If you did it, I don't need to. But if chas v'shalom, we are stubborn, we are brazen, we are akshonim, and lo naseh hadin lamata, we're not willing to fess up, we're not willing to be modal emes, we're not going to change because we're God's gift to the world as we are, then do you know what the harsh reality is? Hadin naseh lamata. The din will be made for us. I ask you, ladies, if indeed there is going to be din, and if indeed Yom Kippur were going to be judged, it behooves us, it behooves every one of us to make sure that we judge ourselves. Make sure we really look and analyze, inculcate into our very beings, who are we? How can I change? Because if we are zoicha to judge ourselves lemata, then the only din that Be'ezras Hashem will have lemala is a gesund, nachas, bracha, hatzlacha, kinder, shidduchim, shalom bayis, filled with rachamim, berevach, below betzimtzum. Nu, I ask you, it's our choice. What are we going to do? So that's the first thing that the Belzer Rebbe says. That if a person is willing to make shalom with themselves, that will lead you to making shalom with your neighbors. You know what happens when you make shalom with your neighbors? Then we get the grand prize. There's shalom in the entire world. So we know how to make shalom within ourselves and end that galus. How do we make shalom with our chaverim, Achim Kol Beis Yisrael? A few months ago, somebody in our shul in North Miami Beach told me he was in another city on a Monday or a Thursday as they took out the Sefer Torah. They take out the Sefer Torah and they walk around so that everyone can kiss the Sefer Torah. An elderly gentleman, 80, 85 years old, very distinguished and dapper looking, he lovingly goes over to the Sefer Torah and he gives it a kiss with his mouth. Standing behind this elderly gentleman is a young person, maybe 20, 25, 60 years, his junior, and he looks disdainfully at the old man, and he says to the old man, don't kiss the Sefer Torah with your lips on the cloth. Take your hand, put it on the cloth, and bring your hand to your mouth. It's not sanitary. It's not clean to kiss it with your mouth. So the fellow tells me that the old man turned to the young boy and said, young man, do you know the difference between our generations? In my generation, we used to kiss the Sefer Torah with our mouth and give tzedakah with our hands. You people give tzedakah with your mouth and kiss the Sefer Torah with your hands. And do you know what? It's a terrible sign of the times we live in. But that's the difference in the generations. So what are we going to do to make sure we make it the way it ought to be? Giving tzedakah, loving people, being machshav Torah. I want to tell you a most fascinating Gemara. The Gemara is found in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, as Yosef was about to leave Mitzrayim, he took three treasures and he buried them into the ground. The Gemara tells us the first treasure was found by Kairach. The second treasure was found by Antoninus of Rome, a friend of Rebbe Yehuda. And the third treasure that he buried has yet to be found. But the Gemara implies that when we find that third monetary treasure, it will all be over. Mashiach will be here. There is a safer that tells us, Yalkut Hadrush. The Sefer tells us the three treasures that Yosef buried were not simply monetary treasures. You know what Yosef buried? Three treasures of ideals. Three treasures of values and goals. And he put those treasures in the ground. So who found those treasures? The first treasure that he put into the ground and he buried was the concept, what we say every morning in Shabbos, in Shacharis, Rabos Machshavos B'Lev Ish, Latas Hashem Yisochum. That a person can plan and plan, but ultimately, it's the will of God that will withstand all. Isn't that a treasure that Yosef lived himself? His brothers planned this and his brothers planned that. His brothers desired A and his brothers desired B. Atas Hashem Yisochum. Yosef became the viceroy of Egypt. Yosef took that treasure, that ideal, and he buried it in the ground. You know who found that in the negative sense? Korach. Because Korach thought he was God's gift to the world. I will go ahead and show my cousins Moshe and Aaron. I will go ahead and steal the kahuna. Rabos machshavos b'lev ish. I'll run the world. But you know what? Atzas Hashem Yisochum. That ideal was buried by Yosef and found by Korach. So what was the second treasure that he buried? He buried the idea that we can live amongst Goyim, we can live amongst the other nations of the world, and still always make a Kiddush Hashem. Yosef was in Mitzrayim. He was surrounded by thousands and thousands of Goyim. They had the utmost of respect for him. He made a Kiddush Hashem. He sanctified the name of God wherever he went. He buried that value and that treasure in the ground. Who found it? Antoninus of Rome. Because Antoninus of Rome and Rebbe Yehuda, although they constantly fought, ideology, theology, terribly clashed. But you know what? Antoninus had the utmost of respect for Rebbe Yehuda. Why? Because he found the second spiritual treasure that Yosef buried. So what, Mayrai Verapoisai, is the third treasure that we haven't found? Yosef's brothers did him harm. Yosef's brothers wanted to kill him. And finally he revealed himself to his brothers, and Yosef said, I forgive you. The forgiving was so intense. He was Mavir on Midosef. The Medrash says, once he revealed himself to his brothers, he never wanted to be in a room alone with his father, Yaakov Avinu, because he never wanted to feel compromised to saying, Ta, you really want to know what they did to me? It's just the two of us. Now let me tell you. He never wanted that. So he never was in a room with Yaakov Avinu himself. He lived by the spiritual treasure to forgive. He lived with the value of loving his brothers, although they did him wrong. He lived with the treasure of being Avraham Yitzchak, and he buried that treasure of Achein Kol Beis Yisrael. Something Gemara, we haven't found it. We haven't found that spiritual treasure. Those values of forgiving our friends, of forgiving our spouses, forgiving our parents and our siblings, forgiving people. We haven't found that treasure. Zot the Gemara. But when we do find that treasure, and when we learn we're all in this together, all three treasures, now you get the grand prize of them all, the Binyan by a Shlishi. Please, if we have made the Geula within ourselves, let's make the Geula with our Chaverim and the rest of Klal Yisrael. But don't wait. Don't wait. A few months ago in North Miami Beach in Shari Tfila, we were redoing the base medrash and bringing in many, many new svarim. In order to accommodate the new svarim, we had to take out many, many boxes of old svarim, ones that sat on the shelves many, many years. They were old. They had mildew. Svarim that were not open for 15 years. So a few men in the shul who were in charge loaded these svarim into boxes, carried it out to their car, and from the car it was going to be buried in Sheamus. And they're making one trip with the svarim in the boxes, and a second trip, and a third trip. And then I see, on one of the trips, as they're carrying the svarim out in the boxes, some of the other members walk over to them and say, well, what are you doing? What are you carrying? We're carrying svarim. What are you doing with them? Well, we're bringing them to Seamus. Well, what do you mean you bring them to Seamus? You can. That sefer there, it's excellent. That sefer there, it belongs to a sef. That sefer there, it's mamash a staple. It's the best sefer in the world. One sefer after the next. You can't throw it out. You can't put it in Seamus. You can't. And he looked at these people who were arguing with him, and he said, I don't understand you. For 16 or 15 years, these svarim sat on a shelf. You didn't pick them up. You didn't glance at them. You didn't touch them. You didn't even look at them. And now that they're being carried out in boxes, and now that they're going to be buried in Seamus, all of a sudden they're so special? Where were you before? Why didn't you value the svarim when they were on the shelf? I saw that exchange, and on the spot, I started to cry. Are we any different? What about people that we live with? What about family members? What about people in our shul or in our community? We don't glance at them. We may not care about them. We don't look at them, invite them for a suda, nothing. But the minute Rahman al-Islam, they're carried out in boxes to be buried like Seamus all of a sudden. But you can! You can! What do you mean? Where were you till now? Appreciate now. If we're starting to look for that third spiritual treasure of Yosef that he buried, now is the 9/11 Shinolad to start. Don't wait until people that we love, Chalila v'chas, it's too late. And then have the ability to say, I should have, I could have, I wanted to, why didn't I? Invite now, call now, visit now, care about now, think and write now. Because now is the time to start looking for that third and final treasure. There is a story that I once mentioned here in Chicago a few months ago. I'd like to repeat it, for its power, I believe, is endless. There's a story in Rus that tells us that in the very beginning of Perek Gimel, Rus is excited. She's a kala. She comes home and says to her mother-in-law, Naomi, she says, Ma, guess what? I'm engaged. Naomi says, that's great, right? We'll get a chosin's watch, the shas, exchange the gifts. It was probably a lot easier then. And funny, Naomi answers Rus 4 or 5 words. Biti, my dear daughter, Rus, haloi avakesh loch manayach. Haloi avakesh loch manayach, I only desire that it be good for you. Manoyach, menucha, tranquility, you should prosper. Haloya vakesh loch manoyach, all I desire is that it should be good for you. I'll tell you another pshat I heard on those words of what it means that Naomi said to Rus, BT, you're engaged? Haloya vakesh loch manoyach. You know what it really means? I want to tell you Gemara Baba Basra, Daf Tzadik Aleph Amid Aleph. I want to just give one introduction to the Gemara. I've said this Gemara many times. I realize the Gemara is a sad, shocking Gemara. Please, ladies, believe me. The pshat I'm telling you is the simple explanation. There's no two ways about it. Other Mefarshim learn differently, but I'm going to tell you the Gemara as it is. The Gemara tells us about the life of Boaz, the one that Rus was engaged to, but from a much earlier point in his life. Do you know what the Gemara tells us about Boaz? When he was much younger, he had 60 children, 30 sons and 30 daughters. Look up the Gemara. And for the 60 children, the 30 sons and 30 daughters, he made 2 chasnas each. You can imagine 120 weddings. The caterer would love it. The musician, the florist, the video. You could retire on Boaz. 120 chasanas. Zokti Gemara. To every chasna he made, 120, he never invited a person whose name was Manoach. Zokti Gemara. You know why he never invited Manoach? Because Manoach had no children. And said Boaz, why should I invite him? He has no children. He'll never invite me to a wedding of his. I don't want to waste the invitation. Other Mepharshim learned differently that he didn't invite Manoah so as not to embarrass him. But that is not the Pashup Shot in the Gemara. The Gemara says he didn't invite Manoah because he said he'll never repay me. He'll never invite me to a wedding. He has no kids. So the Gemara, all 60 of his children died during his lifetime. Now let's go back to the story in Rus. Rus comes home. Ma, I'm engaged. That's great. Who are you engaged to? I'm engaged to someone named Boaz. Boaz? You can't marry Boaz. What do you mean I can't marry Boaz? Don't you know about Boaz? He had 60 children and they all died. It's terrible mazel. But Ma, why'd they die? Well, because there was a person named Manoah. And he never invited Manoah to a single wedding that he made. And as a result of never inviting Manoah and never caring about Manoah, all his children died. So Ruth says, that's it. I'm giving back the ring. I'm taking back the shas. I'm breaking the engagement. And as she's leaving, Navi turns to Ruth and says, but don't leave. You can still marry him. You can marry Boaz. She says, but Ma, look what happened to all 60 of his kids. Yes, that's because he never invited Manoah. I have advice for you. Biti, my daughter. Halaya Bake Shlof Manoah. Invite Manoah to your wedding. Invite the Yesaimim. Invite the Almanas. Invite the people less fortunate. Do it. Halaya Bake Shlof Manoah. Invite the Manoahs of the world. And if you do that, she tells Rus, you'll have a good shidduch. And who, Rabbi Sai, came from the union of Boaz and Rus? Mashiach ben David. Mashiach Tekenu came from that shidduch. Because it's all about caring about the Manoahs. Inviting them to our Shabbos meal, to our Yom Kippur meal, saying I'm sorry. This tremendous mice I heard a few years ago. About 30 years ago, there was a man who, at that time, he lost his wife. He lived in New York. He was a Sadler Chosid, and he was read a shidduch to a Almana and six Yesomim in Los Angeles, a woman who had six orphan children. He wanted to know if he should do the shidduch or not, so he goes to the Satmar Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, should I do the shidduch? It's with a woman and six Yesomim from Los Angeles. The Rebbe says, you know what, I'd be more than happy to find out about the family for you. So you know what, just give me a day and come back to me and I'll let you know. The Rebbe has a chosin in Los Angeles, the Satmar Rebbe, the Friedik, is a Chusa Yogan Aleinu. He picks up a phone, he calls the chosin, and he says, listen, one of my Hasidim here, his wife thought he was read a shidduch to an Alman with 60 Soim in Los Angeles who lives near you. And the Rebbe goes on to list an entire sheet of questions that he has for the Rebbe. How old is she? Who is she? How are the children? How does she care for them? What school do they go to? And the Rebbe is asking the chosin questions, and the chosin is writing it all down. And at the end of the list of questions, the chosin says to the Satmar Rebbe, Rebbe, I don't know the answers to the questions. I don't know about her, but I'll find it all out within 48 hours. I'll call you back, and then you can report to your chassid. And the Satmar Rebbe starts to cry. And he starts to cry. And he can't stop. The chassid said, Rebbe, what did I do? The Satmar Rebbe says, you can't be my chassid. You cannot be my chassid. He says, Rebbe, what did I do? Zok the Satmar Rebbe. How could it be that an Almana and six Yesaimim live in your community and you don't know about them? How could it be? If you don't know about her, if you don't care about the Yesaimim, you can't be my chassid. The first way to making shalom and ending the galus within Klal Yisrael, think about the Manoahs, care about the Manoahs, look for them. Say you're sorry. That's the first way to uncovering the third treasure of Yosef. I once told over an unbelievable maisa that happened in Skver, right outside of Muncie. It was a few years ago, Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the Skver Rebbe was giving all of his Hasidim brachos. There were hundreds and hundreds in and out of the courtyards. And you know, everybody's dressed the same, black hats, black pants, black shoes, pay is everything. In the middle of all the hundreds of Hasidim, There's one person that clearly, while he has every right to be by the Rebbe Erev Rosh Hashanah, he's clearly and blatantly not a Sfera Chosid. He's dressed in light-colored clothing, khaki pants, dockers on his feet, the colored shirt. And people were wondering, while you have every right to be here, I'm just wondering, who might you be? You have every right to get a bracha from the Rebbe. Right, nobody asked. And everybody's filing by the Rebbe. You know how it is, you give your hand to the Rebbe, you give a kvittel, he kisses your hand, he gives you a bracha, and you go on, Lashon HaTayva, all Erev Rosh Hashanah. There was a man standing behind this person, his name was Mr. Schwartz. Mr. Schwartz was dying to know, well, this guy has every right to be here, he wanted to know, who pray tell are you? All of a sudden, after 3 hours waiting, it's this man's turn, the one in the light-colored clothing. And he turns to the Sfera Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, I want you to give a bracha refuah shleima for Yerachmiel Chanina ben Cyril. And the one standing behind him, Mr. Schwartz, is shocked. He also has a son, Yerachmiel Chanina ben Cyril. He and I both have a son, Yerachmiel Chanina ben Cyril, both who need a refuah shleima. What an amazing coincidence. Mr. Schwartz asks his bracha, and all of a sudden he's running after the fellow in the light-colored clothing, the knitted yarmulke. He runs after him and says, excuse me, Yerachmiel Chanina ben Cyril, is that your son you were davening for? And he says, no. He says, who was it? He says, for a little 9-year-old boy named Schwartz. Mr. Schwartz says, that's my son. Why were you davening for my son? He says, you're Mr. Schwartz? Shalom Aleichem and Shalom Tova to you. Every year I'm a counselor in the summer in a camp called Hebrew Academy for Special Children. We know it as HASC. And every summer I have children who suffer terrible, debilitating diseases that play on the mind and play on the body. This summer I had your 9-year-old son in my bunk, the most beautiful, precious child, as many disabilities as he had physically and mentally. Could his eyes light up the darkest night? I love your son. And I was sad to see him go at the end of the summer. And I knew his birthday was around Rosh Hashanah. And I wanted to buy your son a birthday present. So I went to the bookstore to see what I could buy. But I realized maybe a book that I'll buy is not going to be appropriate for a chassid. Maybe it's not something that will be acceptable in his home. So I went to buy a game. But I thought, oh, there's Sfera Chassid, and maybe the game I get won't be accepted in the house. Then I decided, there's a Sfera Rebbe. I'm going to leave my family Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to travel all day. Because do you know what birthday present I got for your son? I wanted to come to your Rebbe and ask for a bracha refuah shleima for your son, Yerachmiel Chanina ben Cyril. That's why I'm here. Happy birthday to your son and the Shana Taiva Umesuka. That's Ahavas Yisrael. That's caring about a person, looking for a person, thinking about a person, please, it's all we have left. In fact, if you take a look at the very beginning of Eicha, as we're looking at the burning Beis HaMikdash, tears are cascading down our cheeks, our arms are tied behind our back, and there the Pasuk says, Golsa Yehuda Me'oini, we went into Golos, and the end says, we found no rest. Do you know what I think it means? Golsa Yehuda Me'oini. Why are we in Golos? Because we haven't found the Manayachs of the world. We haven't found the Yerachmiel Chanina ben Cyrils of the world. We haven't found the third treasure. But oh, when we find the Manayachs, and when we invite them, we care about them, and we help them, there will no longer be Golsa Yehuda Me'oini. We'll be Zeichet to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And that's what the Belzer Rebbe is telling us. After you are privileged to get rid of the Golos that exists within each and every one of us, then a person has to get rid of the Golos that exists with our spouses, our parents, our siblings, our extended family, our community, Klal Yisrael at large. It's enough. This is not the 9/11 Osa Yom Shemes. This is the 9/11 Shenolat. Now's when we change and we end the Golos. I realize it's late, so let's conclude. At the very end of Parsha Shemos, Moshe Rabbeinu realizes the suffering that Klal Yisrael is going through. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he says, Lama hareyoso la'om hazeh. Why are you making it so bitter? Why are you making it more than we can bear? And the Medrash says on that comment of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that Hashem says to him, don't ask me that question. You were not here 100 years ago. You will not be here 100 years from now. Like a tailor who cuts a cloth, right? Imagine if a tailor messed up a wedding dress, we'd go nuts. Until at the very end you see the beautiful design the tailor's making. Oh, it's der kashte. Now I understand. Zup the Ribbono Shel Olam. You weren't here before. You won't be here after. So don't question me. There is a question that begs to be asked on the Medrash. Moshe didn't know that. Moshe didn't know that God is the master planner of the world. Moshe didn't know that he wasn't here prior and he won't be here after. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the example of the tailor. Sure he did. And yet he said, I can't take it anymore. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's justification? Where was he coming from asking Lama Hariyoso Lama Hazeh if he knew the Medrash good and well? Imagine a person goes to the dentist and the dentist tells the patient as he's working on him, I want to tell you I have to pull out a couple of teeth. And now I'm going to pull them out, it's going to hurt and it's going to be excruciating, but in a week it's going to be absolutely fine, you won't feel a thing. The dentist goes ahead and he starts yanking at the two teeth and the fellow in agony starts yelling, it's excruciating, stop! So the dentist says, what are you yelling for? I told you now it's going to hurt, but in a week you'll be fine. So he tells him, over the vowels, put bay! Now it hurts! Now I can't take it! I know it will be fine! So, my Sherabeh, Subari Yaylam, I know it will be fine! I know it will be a gula! I know! Over the vowels, put bay! Now it's killing us! The Misa, the Kinderla, the sickness, rewriting the Sanatoykev. We can't take it anymore. As the vow is put bay. It hurts. Please, please, end this galus. It's as if we're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam, the dentist, give a painkiller. Give us epis vos until that day. Until the day of Ahoya Bayoyma who yitaka b'shoifer gadol. Give us something. Give us something to sweeten the pain. Give us some type of painkiller. Something. We can't take it anymore. Let's end with a final shot. I'm asking you, please, open your hearts to this shot.